Today on More to Life, helping hurting people. Is someone you care about struggling? Let's talk about how you can help without getting dragged under yourself. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, helping hurting people. You know, we all hurt from time to time. We all struggle in different situations. And it's good when the people around us that love us reach out and want to help. But sometimes when we try to be there for the people in our life who are struggling or hurting in some way, it doesn't go as planned. You know, either people reject that offer for help, or they don't take kindly to it and react negatively. They push us away. Or sometimes our efforts to help just make things worse.
Yeah, they can completely drain us as we're trying to be loving and generous and helpful to them.
So we're talking about that today on More to Life. Are you not sure how to help someone close to you who might be going through a hard time? You know, whether it's your spouse who's struggling, or perhaps your younger children or adult children are facing some challenges, or maybe a loved one is dealing with mental health issues or an addiction. It can be hard to know what you can do. Let us help you find grace-filled ways to respond and help those you love who are hurting. Today on More to Life, helping hurting people at 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
You know, I think that this is something that we all will probably go through in some way in our lives, because each of us as humans are frail, you know, in one way or the other, emotionally, physically, in all the ways. And we do all need each other very much. But how do we find the balance? How do we care for ourselves in the midst of caring for others, in the midst of caring for all the other people and all the other things that are going on? And while there's a crisis or an issue or a problem with somebody that we feel called to care about, it can be extremely difficult. And it can also reverberate with other problems within your circle. So I know when my mother was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's, that became a real issue, because I lived, you know, two states away from my mom. My sister was there in the neighborhood, both of us raising kids. She was working full time. So much of it landed in her lap. But I would often call and say, do you want Greg and I to come in? Should we come and visit? What can we do? And she was so busy handling it all, she'd say, no. I don't want anything, you know, to throw off the schedule. Don't come. And then over time, I saw she was kind of resenting the fact that I wasn't coming, even though she laid down the law and didn't let me come. And it became this kind of emotional tightrope between us, as well as, what does Mom need? So it's not just between us and the person who needs something. It often involves a lot of other people and moving pieces. And that can be a really difficult thing to figure out.
877-573-7825. As you were talking, another example occurred to me. A friend of ours shared that their daughter in college has a roommate who has a bit of a drinking problem. And one evening, their daughter got a call from this roommate, you know, to come get her, because she was at a party and she was having difficulties. And so our friend's daughter went to go pick up this roommate, and she couldn't find her, and nobody knew where she was until they started looking around, and she ended up in a ditch, passed out drunk.
Her phone, yeah.
And so she was able to bring her home, and then through a whole course of things, the girl went to the hospital. But then when the girl came out, she refused to speak to our friend's daughter and has been treating her pretty terribly the entire
like
semester.
Like the enemy, yeah.
And, you know, so even when you're doing your best to go out of your way to help someone you care about and show them and show up for them, sometimes that help isn't really received as well as we'd like to. So today on More to Life, helping hurting people. Is someone you care about struggling? Let's talk about what you can do to help without getting dragged into the drama yourself.
Because we feel so deeply as Catholic people that we need to help people. You know, every saint we look at gives us this mandate to be loving, to be caring, to be helpful, to care for anyone who is struggling. And yet, how do you care for everything else at the same time? How do you make these things work for you and for everyone else? So if you're dealing with caretaking in some way, emotionally, physically, even spiritually, because often as people of faith, people turn to us and say, well, you're Christian, right? You're Catholic, right? What should I do about this? And they're constantly asking us to care for their spiritual problems. How do we do it well? How do we do it in God's grace? That's what we're talking about on More to Life today. So give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And maybe you're wondering, well, what is that exactly? And how could it possibly help me help the people in my life? Well, you've come to the right place. You know, when St. John Paul was Pope, he gave a series of reflections that looked at how we could live a more abundant life and have healthier, holier relationships by looking at God's design and creation and how he's worked through salvation history.
Because on the one hand, you know, the theology of the body reminds us that it's good for us to be generous, to be loving, to generously work for the ultimate good of others. But on the other hand, we need to love responsibly, making sure that our efforts work for another person's good, actually producing good fruit. Sometimes we tell ourselves we're being helpful even when things we're doing are making things worse, or even pushing people away. In those times, it is important to not just keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. It's important to not just give up and pat ourselves on the back and say, well, I tried.
So what's the alternative? You know, when our efforts to help don't seem particularly helpful, what we need to do is step back, pray, and be receptive to the ways that God might like us to be loving, instead of continuing to just do what we've always done. You know, we need to remember that the point of being helpful isn't just to make ourselves feel like we've tried to do something. We need to make sure that the help we provide is really producing some kind of positive change. And if not, we need to be open to what God might be asking us to do instead. You know, when we're struggling to know how to help someone, or when our efforts to help haven't been helpful, a good prayer is, you know, Lord, teach me how to respond to this person in a way that will bring out the best in them. 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Helping Hurting People. Are you not sure how to help someone close to you who's going through a hard time? You know, whether it's your spouse who's struggling, or your younger or adult children are facing some challenges, or a loved one is dealing with a mental health issue or even an addiction. It can be hard to know what you can do, and sometimes the things we do don't work. What then? Well, 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you right now and we bring those people who are hurting in our lives to you. And we ask you to teach us how to respond to their pain and to them in ways that glorify you, that help us be our best selves, and help us to bring out the best in them. Help us, Lord, to not just do what we think they need, but to hear your voice, to know what you want to give them, and how we can play a role in providing that support and help and assistance, so that by cooperating with your grace, we can walk with them, comfort them, support them, and help them through whatever struggles they're facing. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Helping Hurting People. You know, we all have somebody in our life who's struggling in some way. What do you do to help? Where do you draw the lines? How do you know what to do when the efforts to help haven't been helpful? 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Esther, who's listening to EWTN Radio in California.
Hi, Esther. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Hi there. Thanks for taking the call.
So certainly. What's up?
The thing is, I'm in my 50s, and I'm taking care of my elderly mother. She's in her 90s. And my older brother, one of them, lives with her in the house. And he's very dysfunctional in the sense that he's a hoarder, and then he brought this girl in to live in the room downstairs in the house. None of us even knew her or what it was about. But my mom, who's a devout Catholic, allowed this girl to come and live in there, even though she knows that they're fornicating. I mean, so that's one huge problem. The other problem is he's a hoarder, so he's like bringing in all this junk into the house, and he tries to keep it in his room, but he recently, well, it was not recent, he has now 8 cats in one bedroom, and it's horrifying.
Oh, wow.
Disgusting. There's vents, you know, the central heating and air in the house, and you know all of that mess is just going through the entire vent system. My mom recently diagnosed with sleep apnea, and I asked a cardiologist, could this be like from allergens? And she said, absolutely.
Sure.
What my struggle is, I cannot convince my mom to tell my brother that nobody is allowed to live in that house unless me, my other brother, we all agree to it, first of all. So that girl has to go. And then number two, no animals in the house, which was a rule my dad had for us always growing up. The problem is my mom will not tell him no to anything. It's a very
And I suppose you've spoken to your brother as well directly. What's his response when you talk to him?
Oh, when he first brought 2 cats into the room, one cat, I was appalled. When the girl came, like, I was like, what? Who is this person? And she's like half his age. That's the other disgusting thing. It's just like,
you've mentioned some pretty serious things. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish your thought.
I'm just trying to figure out how to do the right thing and what's right by God. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, when it comes to that, what's your confusion there? When you say you're not sure what to do right by God,
Well, I mean, I would love to just go in there and kick that girl out and let those cats all out in the street and, you know.
Do you have the authority or power to take some kind of action like that? I'm just get a sense of what you're able to do. Like, if you did that, would it stick?
I think it may cause more disruption. It may cause more damage.
To what?
Maybe to my mother. My daughter went over there, and my daughter's 30, and she went over to my mom's house as a favor to me, you know, take her. She went on some errand, brought her back, and then she went downstairs and to knock on the door to see if my brother or if that girl was there, and nobody answered. So she opened the door, and that's where she was just horrified at what she saw. She called.
Would you say that it's an unsafe environment? Would you say that it's unsafe in some way?
Yeah.
For your mom, especially.
It's unsafe if you're living in that room, but again, now with the vent system, that's what I say is unsafe.
Okay, so look, when you say, you know, what to do, the therapy guide, I mean, working for your mom's good is what the right thing to do is, and whatever it takes to take care of her, even if she's not able to fight for herself, I think is appropriate. Now, the question is, you know, I don't want you to do anything that would get you in legal trouble or cause problems on that front. So I don't know what you have the right to be able to do. And so you might need to speak to an attorney to find out whether you can go in and, you know, force him out, even if your mother doesn't, you know, agree. So that's one thing. One thing I can say, though, and the reason I was focusing on whether this is safe or not,
yeah,
is because many people aren't aware that counties don't just have children's services, they have elder services as well, where a social worker can come and do a wellness evaluation of the living situation of an elderly person and make legal recommendations for what needs to happen. So I think that you're at the point where something forceful needs to happen, whether you can make that happen on your own or you seek the advice of an attorney. I would, again, recommend that before you go in and move everybody out or whatever. Or whether you call elder services, but doing what is necessary to take care of your mom and make sure that she is in a safe and healthy environment is the right thing. You know, honoring our mother and father doesn't mean obeying them in general. Even the catechism says that about adult children, at least. And it certainly doesn't mean allowing them to live in an unhealthy and unsafe environment just because they're too weak or infirm or emotionally drained to fight the fight. You know, it means that we look and we say, okay, mom needs this, dad needs that, and I'm going to make that happen for them to the best of my ability. You know, we do have to recognize that they do have free will, and if, you know, if this is a different situation where your mom, well, I won't get into it, but I would say, well, sometimes we need to defer to that elderly parent because they still have their free will. But in this case, you know, she's clearly in an unsafe situation. So I think taking action in some way is the right thing to do. But again, their first step would be either contacting elder services for them to do an evaluation or you to talk to a lawyer about what you can legally make happen without getting in trouble yourself.
I would definitely make that the first step because you want to know if you have any ability to do anything in this situation besides trying to beg your mother to stand up to this situation.
Talk to an attorney who specializes in elder law.
Yeah, that's really what your first step wants to be, so you know what kind of power you have besides trying to talk your mother into doing something about it.
And to get a referral for that, contact your local bar association for your county. Mm-hmm. All right, Esther, thank you so much for the call. Thank you for being willing to be there for your mom. I hope that these suggestions will give you some ideas for how to begin to move forward with this. Please don't hesitate to contact us again here on More to Life once you've taken these steps and let us know how it's going. We've added you and your family to our More to Life prayer list as well. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Helping Hurting People. You know, is someone you care about struggling in some way? You know, maybe your spouse is having a hard time, or your younger or older children are facing some challenges and you're not quite sure what to do about it. Maybe a loved one is dealing with a mental health issue or an addiction, and you're not sure how to support them. You know, it can be hard to know what to do and where to draw the lines and what to do when your offers to help or efforts to help aren't helping. Let us help you find grace-filled ways to intervene. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
The most amazing saints from modern times, John Paul II, Maximilian Kolbe, and Maria Faustina with the Divine Mercy. This is Steve Ray. We invite you to join us on a pilgrimage to Poland and experience this incredible Catholic country, the land of saints, Catholic culture, gorgeous churches and shrines, and delicious food. Join us next April as we again visit Poland, one of our favorite pilgrimage destinations.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net. The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus states that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, "I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire his blood, which is love incorruptible." The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
My daughter told me she was published in a scientific journal as an undergrad. I'm so proud of her. The world needs Catholic physicists, and my daughter's going to be one of them.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, helping hurting people. Is someone you care about struggling? We want to talk about how you can help them without getting dragged under yourself. Because, you know, sometimes when somebody's really struggling, your efforts to help them can make you feel a little like you're drowning in it all.
Yeah.
So let's talk it out and find ways to be helpful in ways that are actually helpful. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
Before we take another call, we want to send out congratulations to a longtime EWTN radio partner. Sacred Heart Radio, Catholic radio for the Northwest, is celebrating an incredible 24 years with EWTN.
That's amazing. You know, they serve Washington State with 12 stations, plus a station in Kodiak, Alaska. We want to congratulate Ron Belter and his great team at Sacred Heart Radio from all of us here at EWTN. And folks, wherever you are listening to EWTN Radio, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN Catholic radio station. Let's keep Catholic radio going strong for decades to come so EWTN can continue to support you and those you love in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. And congratulations again to Sacred Heart Radio and Ron Belter in Washington State for their 24 years with EWTN. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Helping Hurting People. Are you not sure how to help someone close to you who's going through a hard time? You know, whether it's your spouse who's struggling, or your younger or adult children who are facing some challenges, or a loved one who's dealing with a mental health issue or even an addiction. It can be hard to know what to do and what to do when what you've done isn't working. Let us help you find grace-filled ways to help them. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. You know, sometimes the problem seems like it should be simple. For example, helping your young child deal with their tantrums.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this poor kid is melting down in front of you, whether that's a toddler or a little, and they're just... they're having the hardest time, and it's driving you crazy because everything you do just inflames them.
And inflames you because you're thinking, I'm the adult. They're little. I should be able to handle this. But suddenly you're feeling completely incompetent and maybe even younger than the kid having the tantrum.
Well, we've got a resource for you. Lisa and I are doing a webinar next Tuesday. That's January 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern. You can learn more about it. It's called Tempering Tantrums, and we are helping parents of kids who are struggling with tantrums overcome those challenges. You can learn more about that webinar by going to catholiccounselors.com/tantrums. That's catholiccounselors.com/tantrums. Check it out and learn more about this great webinar, Tempering Tantrums, that Lisa and I are hosting on Tuesday, January 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Let us help you help your kids learn how to be better regulated and help you have a more peaceful home life.
Yeah, doesn't that sound a lot better than constantly worrying about when they're going to go off and how you're going to handle it right this time?
Well, 877-573-7825. Today's show is talking about helping hurting people. And one thing I can say that we need to keep in mind when we're helping hurting people is to be prepared to work hard, but be careful of working harder than they are on their problems. And the reason I say that is not because we shouldn't be compassionate. It's because when people work harder on our problems than we are, that can sometimes enable us in staying stuck in those problems. But if you can help someone begin to take small steps, even small steps, to begin to work on their issues, and you support them in taking those steps, then that help is helpful. But when we tend to swoop in and say, here, let me fix this for you, or let me do that for you, especially if they haven't asked, often that help is unwelcome, and even worse, it's harmful, because that person takes less and less responsibility for it because they see us doing the work for them. And that can be a tricky line to walk. So let's talk about that, too, when we come back from break. Is someone you care about struggling in some way, and you're not sure how to help them? Or perhaps your efforts to help haven't been all that helpful. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls about helping hurting people right after this.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
While I was working at this Protestant station, in the midst of being challenged by former Catholics, I received this book from Ascension Press, and I became hooked on apologetics. I discovered Catholic Answers. I discovered EWTN. I started listening to all these programs. I would just go to local Catholic bookstores and grab every single book I could on apologetics. Deep in my heart, I knew that it was true, and I trusted the Church for her 2,000 years of teaching. I knew a certain amount of Scripture, but I wasn't able to defend it as well. That period of my life where I worked in Christian radio and was challenged by former Catholics, as painful as it was one of the best things that ever happened to me, because it really forced me to dive in more deeply and fall even more in love with the Catholic Church.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Why does the Catholic Church value virginity? At the heart and center of all Christian life is Christ the Lord. The Catechism tells us that our bond with Christ takes precedence over all bonds, familial or social. From the Church's very beginning, there have been men and women who have forsaken marriage to follow the Lamb wherever he leads them. Christ himself has invited certain persons to follow him in this way of life, for which he remains the model. Virginity for the sake of the kingdom is an unfolding of baptismal grace, a powerful sign of the supremacy of a person's bond with Christ. It is also a sign that this bond recalls that marriage is a reality of this present age, which is passing away. St. John Chrysostom puts it well, "The most excellent good is something even better than what is admitted to be good." This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popchak. Nothing taxes our relationship with our adult kids as much as the expectation that they should obey us. As parents, we remember when our children were little and we could get away with, because I said so. Although we don't recommend that approach at any stage, we guarantee that you will fail to communicate with your adult children if you demand obedience. The Catechism of the Catholic Church notes, "Obedience towards parents ceases with the emancipation of our children." Certainly, our children owe us their respect, just as any human being owes respect to others in a relationship. but our adult children aren't obliged to do what we say. Catholic parents are still called to help our adult kids lead godly adult lives, but we're called to do it as mentors and witnesses, not masters and commanders. To learn how you can have a healthy mentoring relationship with your adult kids, check out our book, Having Meaningful and Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, helping hurting people. Is someone you care about struggling in some way, whether that's with a small issue, like we were talking about in the last segment about tantrums with small kids, or a more complicated issue, like our first caller, whose mom was living with her son, but her son was a hoarder, and all kinds of other issues related to that. Whatever the situation is, it's sometimes hard to know how to be helpful in ways that actually are helpful. So let us help you help them. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Patricia, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New Jersey on Domestic Church Radio.
Hi, Patricia. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I am an adult child of an alcoholic, and I've worked with that through the years. I'm in my 60s, but I have a son-in-law who I love very much, and he's a high anxiety person and just went through a lot of employment problems. And I saw him using alcohol as a way to deal with things. And I'm concerned that he is abusing alcohol. And I don't want a whole nother generation to go through that kind of family pain.
Sure.
And I don't know how to. I don't know who to approach or how to approach it to offer just not like knowledgeable advice, but help to just the idea that maybe he needs to reach out for help.
Sure. Now, Patricia, this is your daughter's husband, I take it, if it's your son-in-law, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And has your daughter come to you about it, or have you discussed it with her at all? Where is she in all of this and evaluating it, how she feels about it?
No, because of my history, I think my family, they generally don't like me to talk about people's drinking, which I tried to have an intervention for my father when I was growing up, and with a, you know, a therapist and help and all, but nobody in my family would support that idea. And so when there are...
Now, that's when you were growing up. And
right.
And I certainly get that, you know, when you are a child in an alcoholic home, everybody's so busy keeping the secret that when the child, you know, tries to speak the truth into it, they get shut down pretty quickly. But now you are an adult woman who raised your daughter. And what makes you, you're saying that people don't want to hear it, but what kind of response have you gotten from your family?
From your daughter in particular.
Especially from your daughter, but the adult people you live with, you know, and have raised, how have they given you that message?
I only have approached my husband with this concern. And I said, should we say something? And his response was, well... they might be embarrassed.
Well, sure, but sometimes that's okay. What's your relationship with your daughter like?
Oh, good, I think.
Good in what's like? How often do you see her? And when you talk about things, do you kind of talk more about the weather, or do you actually talk about your lives?
We talk about important things. I see them once a week.
Okay, and that's good, but so I guess I'll just throw in some things here. So I think you want to start by seeing where your daughter's at with all this, okay? And when you say should I talk to somebody about it, you know, often what that means is should I tell them that they have a problem, and the answer to that is probably not. I wouldn't recommend you going straight to your son-in-law and saying, hey, I think you're drinking too much. I think the first step has to be going to your daughter and saying, You know, I know you guys have been going through a really hard time with the job situation, and it's been really stressful. And I know that he's struggled with anxiety, and I see him using alcohol more. And I don't know, you know, whether to be concerned about that or not, because, you know, part of my history, but part I have these concerns. How are you feeling about this? Do you feel like he's struggling, or do you feel like things are in an okay place? Where are you at with it all? So you don't lead with an accusation or an assertion kind of an armchair diagnosis. You lead with a question and concern. And if she gets defensive about it, mom, this and that, it's like, no, you can say, look, I get it. I understand. You know, maybe you think that I'm oversensitive because of my own history as an adult child and an alcoholic. I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm not saying you have to do anything. I'm saying, you know, I've seen some things that made me a little concerned, and I just wanted to know where you stood with it, and if there's anything that I can do to support you. Right? The other thing I'll just put out there, Patricia, and you clearly have a beautiful, beautiful heart, but you're very nervous and anxious about talking about this. You can tell you're very emotional.
Because you really, you know, the experience you had of trying to help your father and having all the adults in your family of origin shut you down and silence you, I mean, you definitely know what kind of harm that has done to you over the years.
And it might just be nervous. Excuse me, I'm so sorry for
you. Not at all.
And it might just be that you're nervous on the call. And that's, you know, so I'm just, you know, saying this, take it to prayer. It's important when we do bring these things up that we can come across like we are offering to be a shoulder for that person to cry on, an ear for that person to talk to, a support to them. And if we're too nervous and anxious about the thing when we bring it up, then implicitly we convey the message that I need you to take care of me about this, which also undermines our ability to be effective. So,
yeah, I mean, it's a terrible, terrible thing that's the way it comes off. And that is not just you, Patricia. That's any of us who have unhealed or partially healed childhood wounds about something, that when we start to see, okay, I'm going to go back into this situation in some way, shape, or form, our stress level gets elevated to the point where we're kind of, you know, internally shaking enough that people can read it in how we're coming across. And even if you can say to her, I need you to know that even though this reminds me of what I went through as a child, I'm not asking you to take care of me. I'm strong enough to be here for you. And I have concerns, but I'm strong enough to be here for you. And if you are saying to yourself, maybe I'm not, then that's also an invitation from the Holy Spirit to say, you know what? The Holy Spirit's saying, you know what, Patricia? There's more that I want to heal in you. You've come this far. You've done a great job being an adult. You've raised a wonderful family. But there's more I want to heal for you, not just for you, Patricia, but so that you can be strong enough to help your loved ones when they have a need like this. So it's both an invitation to you for more healing, but also you can say very clearly to her, no matter how you feel like I'm coming off, I'm strong enough to be here for you in this situation.
So, Patricia, have that conversation with your daughter. Approach it more like a question than an accusation, and genuinely be interested in how she's feeling about it all, and convey that sense that you're here to support her. But also, as Lisa was just saying, recognize that God may still want to be doing some healing in you.
And one other thing that I want to throw in is that you said so beautifully, she's like, you said, this is my son-in-law who I love very much. And we could hear in your voice that you really do. And you want to make sure you're restating that when you approach your daughter. You know, I love him so much. How is he doing? This has been really rough on him. What can I do to be there to support you and him through all of this? Because as soon as you say that, you know, I love him so much, you're taking away that she's interfering, she's judging my marriage, she's judging my spouse. So you really want to come across as supportive, loving, just coming with questions so you see how they're really doing, because you're only seeing them once a week, so you don't have the full picture, and that you're strong enough to be able to be there as a shoulder for her.
Just one last comment. You know, your husband said, well, they might be embarrassed. Somebody's embarrassment is never a reason for us to not address a serious issue related to their spiritual well-being, their physical, mental health. Our only concern has to be working for the good of the other person. Recognizing that they could be embarrassed tells us a lot about how we should approach them and what tone we should take how we should come across. But it doesn't mean don't bring it up, right? That's actually part of the secret keeping behavior in an alcoholic family. That's afraid to talk about the elephant in the room out of fear of embarrassment
or what are the neighbors going to think? We have to shut this down. Yeah.
So don't let your daughter or your son-in-law's potential embarrassment stop you from saying something. But recognize that because there's a potential for that embarrassment or the sensitivity, that you need to approach them in a thoughtful way, like we're describing here.
Such a good clarification, Greg. Right. Yeah,
and Patricia, if we can help any further, don't hesitate to reach out to us here. If you would like to work on any of the healing that you still might feel needs to happen in your own life to get a better handle on the anxiety that you're feeling or any of those older wounds, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We can also be a resource for your daughter as well if she's looking for faithful ways to handle what might be a more serious issue. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Helping Hurting People. Are you not sure how to help someone you care about who's going through a tough time? You know, maybe your spouse is struggling in some way, or your younger or adult children are facing a challenge and you're not sure what to do. Maybe a loved one is dealing with a mental health issue or an addiction. It can be hard to know how to help in ways that are actually helpful. Let us help you find grace-filled ways to intervene. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Galatians chapter 6, verse 2.
Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is our mandate, but it's also a cause of a lot of confusion, because we are called to bear each other's burdens. But how do we do that in a way that moves them forward, that doesn't rip us to shreds, that takes into account all the other people in the dynamic? It can feel like a lot.
Well, and so you might ask, you know, how does this scripture fit with what we were saying in the last break, or before the last break, you know, the idea that we should always be prepared to work hard to help other people, but we should be careful about working harder on their problems than they are. I mean, how does this fit with St. Paul saying, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ? St. Paul's asking us to help the other person carry their burden, right? There's no mistake that it has to be their burden. It's not our burden that we take on for them. It's their burden that we help them carry, which is exactly what I was saying. When we're prepared to work hard to help somebody else, but careful about working hard to make sure that we're not working harder than them, what that means is we're helping them clarify the steps they need to take to solve their problem, and we're coming alongside of them to give them a little boost and that support they need to solve their problem. It's still their burden, and we're helping them bear it. We're not ripping that burden out of their hands and saying, I'll carry it for you, especially if they haven't asked us to. You know, and it's okay to do that when somebody is genuinely working very hard and they can't carry their cross any further and they need our help. We can be their Simon of Cyrene, but we have to be careful about how much of that we take so that we don't give them the impression that it's not their burden anymore. Because that's how we grow, by learning to carry those burdens with the love and support of the people around us. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Our show is titled Helping Hurting People, and if someone you care about is struggling in some way, let's talk about how you can help without getting dragged under yourself, and also by help in ways that are actually helpful. More to Life will continue with your calls after the break. Stick around.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I went to Las Vegas years and years ago for one of these cable shows. And I was shocked to see all these old ladies in their 70s and 80s getting off that plane, running for a slot machine. You don't have a chance to win. They're all fixed. I know, my uncle used to have slot machines.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Italy aficionado Teresa Tomio's newest book is coming soon to the Ave Maria online store. In Italy's Shrines and Wonders, Teresa Tomio provides how best to navigate the most popular sites, best routes, and how to best soak in all the beauty Italy has to offer. She also shares the most inspiring journeys to make your Italy excursion utterly unforgettable. Shrines and Wonders from Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomio, will be found soon at AveMariaRadio.net.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, helping hurting people. Is someone you care about struggling in some way? We want to help you figure out how to help them in ways that are actually helpful. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Mary, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida on Divine Mercy Radio.
Hi, Mary. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hello. My sister... informed us recently that after 20 years of marriage, her husband wants out, and we are 99% sure that he is suffering from depression. He had a lot of trauma growing up. His parents divorced. His mom had some bad relationships that he feels like he couldn't protect her from, although she's doing fine now. Like, she's his sister was an alcoholic, and he died a couple of years ago, and he was never able to, you know, he wanted to fix her, and he never was able to. And I feel like he has spiraled since then, and so in the last 6 months he told my sister, he's like, you know, like, he doesn't want to be married anymore. The marriage isn't good. They've gone to counseling, but he doesn't think there's anything wrong with him. So he's planning on moving out.
And Mary, when you say we think that he's depressed, does that include your sister
and their therapist?
Yes. And
so this isn't the rest of the family's, observation. She agrees with this analysis.
Yeah, and we feel like most of us feel like he is his sister right now, you know, not the alcohol, but the depression. Everybody wants to help him, and he doesn't feel like he needs help, and.
Did the therapist concur, the therapist that they went to? Did the therapist say, yes, you have depression, we need to treat the depression?
My sister said that when they went in kind of for marriage counsel, you know, the counseling. And she was like, yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot to work right now on your marriage. She goes, we need to work on you. And and then I think he went a couple times, and the therapist just kind of said, like, I can't help you if you don't want help.
How can we help you? What's your question for us? Because there's a lot of things going on.
Well, how do I help my sister? You know, like, you know, I've been telling her that I think it's probably good that he moves out. She's afraid once he moves out, he's just going to...
It'll be the end of it. If he moves out, it'll be the end. For sure. I can respond to your question and offer some suggestions for moving forward. But to you and any other listener out there, separation almost always ends in divorce. Almost always. Not 100%, but almost always, because that's the way of the person saying, I'm not going to divorce you, but I just need a break. I need some time. And what happens is, you know, when you're apart from the person you're having problems with, then you feel better initially, and you're like, oh, see, this was the right thing to do, and it kind of confirms for you what your thinking was in this. And I agree with your assessment of your brother-in-law, by the way. What you're describing here is a pretty common problem, where somebody who has had a traumatic childhood especially tends to what's called externalize their problems. In other words, they feel like the things outside of them are the problem, and if they can just get away from those things that are outside of them, then they'll feel better. Your brother-in-law isn't really dealing with the internal stuff that needs to be addressed in order to feel better, because it's scary to go there. And so he'd rather just move deck chairs around the Titanic in hopes that that'll somehow make him feel better. So what does your sister do in all this? Couple of things. One, you know, the approach of the person who is in your brother-in-law's position, they tend to want to make everybody else miserable so that they'll leave them and they can say, well, see, my wife left me. The only thing that was surprising in this whole story was him saying he's going to move out. But regardless, your sister shouldn't make it easy on him, you know, in terms of, you know, saying that he should go or that she'd move out or any of that sort of thing. It should be, you know, look, I love you. You're depressed. I'm here to help. This marriage is here for you. And I'm not going to let you off the hook that easily. It's not, you know, him leaving isn't the easy answer. I really encourage you to encourage your sister to either reconnect with that therapist they were working with, but to make sure whoever she works with for individual counseling right now is what is somebody who's trained in systems theory. Systems theory is a kind of therapy that helps you make changes in a larger system, even if you're the only one working on it. And not every therapist is trained in it. Really, mostly only therapists who have real experience with marriage and family therapy. And there are a lot of counselors who are trained as individual counselors who will say they see couples, but they don't necessarily have the training in this kind of approach. And those therapists tend to have about a 20% success rate, where therapists who've had this training in systems theory have over, you know, a 90% success rate. So it's important to pick the right person. And even if your brother-in-law isn't willing to go, your sister should continue to go to the person who's trained in that model so that she can see where she might need to set boundaries or where she needs to build rapport as a way of getting your brother-in-law to face his stuff. She can't make that happen. She can't control the outcome, but she can make sure that whatever she's doing, she's making the healthiest response to the situation, not making avoidable mistakes, and also not getting dragged under herself in all this pain. She needs somebody that she can talk to that can really give her productive, helpful answers. So those would be my suggestions for how to move forward with this, Mary. And we've added your sister and brother-in-law to our More to Life prayer list, and we've included your whole family there. But really, you know, I think you're dead on. I tend to take issue when therapists say, "Well, I can't help you." If the person's showing up, there's a part of them that wants help.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think it's important to say, you know, I for the therapist to say, look, I'm struggling to know how to do this. And then for them to get appropriate supervision from other colleagues or mentor so that they can know how to intervene. But just saying to somebody who's actually in your office, you know, I can't help you if you won't help yourself. That's a cop out for the therapist. That's the therapist saying, I don't know what to do for you.
Because you're being stubborn. But there are things that you can do, moving things along baby step by baby step in that situation. And I'm sorry that that was your sister and brother-in-law's experience. But.
So if she needs more, if she will look, is looking for faithful Catholic support in all this, I encourage her to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But either way, encourage her to work with somebody who's trained in systems theory, who knows how to teach her to intervene in the larger system. And secondly, encourage her to not make it easy on him, because as long as it's the easier path, that's what he's going to do instead of looking inward and doing the healing work that he needs to do on himself. Thank you so much for the call, Mary. And if you're looking for ways to help people that you, someone you care about, especially if it's impacting you, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about how we can connect you with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to enable you to transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. And then get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because with His grace, there is so much more to life.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.